translation. For son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and the disappearance and due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception or skin of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Purport. Srila Prabhupada. In the proper discharge of duty, one has to learn to tolerate non-permanent appearances and disappearances of happiness and distress. According to Vedic injunctions, one has to take his bath early in the morning, even during the months of Magdha, January and February. It is very cold at that time, but in spite of that, a man who abides by the religious principles does not hesitate to take his bath. Similarly, a woman does not hesitate to cook in the kitchen in the months of May and June, the hottest part of the summer season. One has to execute his duty in spite of climatic inconveniences. Similarly, to fight is a religious principle of the Kshatriyas. And although one has to fight with some friend or relative, one should not deviate from his prescribed duty. One has to follow the prescribed rules and regulations of religious principles in order to rise up to the platform of knowledge, because by knowledge and devotion only can one liberate himself from the clutches of Maya, illusion. The two different names of address given to Arjuna are also significant. To address him as Kauntiya signifies his great blood relations from his mother's side, and to address him as Bharata signifies his greatness from his father's side. From both sides, he is supposed to have a great heritage. A great heritage brings responsibility in the matter of proper discharge of duties. Therefore, he cannot avoid fighting. Matra sparsha sukhaunte ya sdoshna sukhadukhada ramapayino nityas tangsidikshas vabharata. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and the disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, a sign of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. So, this verse explains that the principle of tapasya, one has to tolerate so many difficulties in order to achieve one's goal in life. In the material world, there's so many hindrances. It is not easy to advance spiritually. Actually, many people, especially nowadays, they argue that one should be natural. One should be natural. So many movements have been created to support this idea of being natural. Eat natural food, living a natural environment, keep the ecology balanced. Is that balanced? So there's so many movement to this direction, becoming more natural. But actually, natural, what is natural should be understood properly. Mm-hmm. So there's, like it says in the Bhagavad Gita, there's different natures. There's material nature and there's spiritual nature. So what is natural in the material nature is not natural in the spiritual nature. Actually, what is natural in the lower nature is that we are meant to suffer, that we are taken birth, that we becoming old, that we become diseased, and that we die. Degradation is completely natural in the material world. Actually, it says that the material nature influences the living entities in two different ways, mainly in two different ways. The first thing is that she covers us. She makes us forget. So to forget in the material world one's real identity is completely natural to become. And then also the second influence is that material nature is throwing us down. We become more and more degraded, we become more and more entangled, and gradually lose our consciousness completely. We become like dull, almost like dull matter. Just like the Vedas explain that there's so many different varieties of forms, so many different species. And there has also been made a separation, the living entities have been divided in two different categories. There are the moving living entities and the immoving, non-moving, and the non-moving living entities. So the non-moving living entities are lower. They are actually just like we have heard that the living entity might even become so unconscious, so covered over by the material energy, that he might even accept the body of a rock or a mountain, something like that, and become practically immovable. So in this way, what is natural in the material world is that we suffer. I mean that we are in ignorance, that we covered over, and that we fall down gradually, that we degrade. That's natural. But also we have a higher nature. We are actually not this body, but rather, like it is especially explained in this chapter 2 of the Bhagavad Gita, we belong to the living entity nature, or jiva shakti. So there are three kinds of energies. There is the spiritual nature, chit shakti, then there is the jiva shakti, and there is the material nature. I don't remember the exact expression. So we belong to the living entity category. And that category also has been defined as the marginal energy. So when Sanatana Goswami came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he presented himself very humbly before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very manifested his merciful, nature towards him, in giving him, in instructing him in spiritual knowledge. So Sanatana Goswami came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a very humble way. It says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took a straw in his mouth. And this taking the straw in the mouth is,
It's a custom.
For the Vaishnavas to show, to express one's very fallen and very humble position in front of somebody else. So he took a straw in his mouth and very humbly submitted himself to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Prabhupada explains that just like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking to Ramananda Roy, he took a very humble position in front of Ramananda Roy and asked him so many questions. And he presented himself as a very humble servant of Ramananda Roy. So, and asking him questions very submissively, he took a very, a lower position in front of Ramananda Roy. And Ramananda Roy, and he inspired Ramananda Roy to answer all kinds of questions, very confidential questions. In the same way, Prabhupada explains, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had previously adopted this role in front of Ramananda Roy, in a similar way, now when Sanatana Goswami approached him very humbly, he took up the position of spiritual master and instructed him about spiritual knowledge. He instructed him in a very detailed way, and we have all these instructions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially in the Madhya Lila, very confidential and very enlightening. So when Krishna speaks about himself, when Krishna speaks about devotional service, when Krishna elaborates these subject matters, spiritual subject matters, then things become very, easy to understand. Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is completely capable of explaining everything. So then, Sanatana Goswami, first of all, like we mentioned, he adopted a very humble attitude. So even though he had been a very important personality previously, he had been a minister and a confidential friend, actually, of the king, as well as his brother Rupa Goswami. They had been very, very powerful personalities. And also it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, not only had they been ministers, but they also had taken actually birth in very, very important, very prominent families in India. They had belonged to the Saraswata Brahmana community, a very powerful and very, very cultured family.
Lineage.
A very powerful lineage. So, even though they had been very powerful and very, very educated, just like it says also, they spoke so many languages also. Actually, the king had taken them, accepted them as ministers, exactly for this same reason, because they were very, he was expecting for them to help and direct the business of the government. It says even in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says even that they were actually more or less in charge of the kingdom. They were doing all the administration in the name of the king, while the king was enjoying or was conquering riches, or was conquering more, land to expand his kingdom. So they were actually very powerful and very important personalities. But even though they were very exalted from the material point of view, just like it shows in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Sanatana Goswami approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was expressing this. He said, people actually think that I'm very learned, and they think that I'm very important, very learned, and I myself also think in that. So that's a great problem. He expressed this as if he described this as a great problem for progressing in spiritual life. And then he said, they all consider me great learned personality, but I don't even know who I am. Very important point. How can somebody be considered learned if he doesn't even know who he is himself? The very basic principle of knowledge is that one understands oneself. Unless one understands oneself, one's real identity and one's real necessities, there's no question of progressing in any way. One doesn't know himself and doesn't know the real goal of life. It's very doubtful that this person is actually advancing. He's actually making progress in life. So he was expressing this. And then he also said, and why am I suffering so much? So Srila Prabhupada is explaining this relationship, these different very important points that Sanatana Goswami was presenting. The first thing, the last thing that I mentioned, why am I suffering the threefold miseries? Normally in the material world people are very puffed up. And they think that if somebody feels that he's suffering, that he's a great failure in life, one should be very, challenging, One should be very bold, and one should become a hero in the material world, But if somebody comes humble, and he thinks that he's suffering, that he's a failure in life, this is considered very, very, negative. It's considered very negative. Even we see that in modern society, if somebody has doubts like this, he loses his self-confidence, or he becomes depressed, like this. Normally he goes to the psychologist. And the psychologist just tells him, actually you are not a failure. You're not bad. You're not low class. You're actually okay. You should just forget about it. You should forget about all these complexes. Complexes that you have. You should enjoy. You should control. You should enjoy. You should become very daring. You should become very bold. And even they teach so many weird things nowadays in the name of mind control and yoga, meditation. So people give up all their ill feelings, or not ill feelings, they give all their complexes, hang-ups. They give up all their hang-ups. And they become big, very powerful animals. They give up all their sensibilities, they give up all their sensitivity and just become like big animals. Just like they say, you should live what you feel like. You should actually live your dreams, your wildest dreams. You should live them. Don't restrict yourself. So, but this is not what Sanatana Goswami was showing. Actually, he was presenting himself as a very fallen personality. Of course, when he presented himself like this, the first thing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied. Was it actually, you have nothing to do with the threefold miseries. You already liberated soul. You have already gotten so much mercy of Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was even, he was saying that, glorifying Sanatana Goswami for having his associate, he was glorifying him And when he was speaking of his own fortune, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking of his own fortune of being able to have his association. So this is actually the sign of a great devotee. He never presents himself as very special, very exceptional, very advanced, but he always considers himself low class. He considers himself a servant of everyone else. He considers himself very disqualified and completely dependent on the mercy of the Vaishnavas and of Krishna. And then also Sanatana Goswami was also expressing that how Krishna had actually given, no, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking about to Sanatana Goswami, was saying that actually Krishna is so merciful to you that you are able to ask all these questions. Also a very important point. It's very, very difficult to actually ask good questions. No, we have spoken many times about this. It's very difficult to ask good questions. No, to actually ask essential questions, questions that are related to the essential problems that one has. It's very difficult to come to the point, to the real essence, the real point. So that's why we are so interested, you know, in studying all these conversations in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, in other Vedic scriptures, because they're full of conversations, full of questions and full of answers. So we can learn. We can not only learn how to answer questions, but we can also learn how to approach the spiritual master, how to approach great personalities, and how to deal with them, how to ask questions, how to put them into practice, how to serve these great personalities. And in this way, you know, we can become as fortunate as Sanatana Goswami or Rupa Goswami or Arjuna by getting all the mercy, by getting all the benedictions of these great personalities. So coming back to the point, to the verse here, you know, one of the points here, the point that Krishna makes here, is that we should become very tolerant. Tolerance is one of the most essential qualities of a devotee. You should be very, very tolerant. There's always adverse conditions in the material world. Just like when we go out and chant Hare Krishna on the street, do Harina, not many people are not very interested in this. They're not very interested. You can see it on their faces. They're completely into some other things. You know? And they even think that devotees are crazy, or they're weird, or they're sacked, or they're brainwashed, or they're just simply crazy. It's not very easy to spread Krishna consciousness, to impress the necessity of Krishna consciousness in people's mind, in their hearts. And sometimes these people even, under the influence of some lower modes, they even become offensive with the devotees, or they attack the devotees even. So all this is very difficult. The greatest austerity is actually to spread Krishna consciousness. Not just become Krishna conscious oneself, but actually to also spread Krishna consciousness. How many times did we hear this argument? That, okay, you are a devotee of Krishna, but why don't you practice in your place? And why do you have to disturb everybody else? If you are a devotee and you are so crazy, then why don't you just, live by yourself and just like any religious people, just live by yourself, just be a good Hare Krishna, but don't disturb anybody else. But Srila Prabhupada explains, there's one famous class that Prabhupada gave. And he said, it is our duty to disturb the envious. It is simply our duty to disturb humans. To disturb them. To create some disturbance in Maya's kingdom. So, why? Because devotees actually cannot tolerate, see how people are just going in the wrong direction. They're going, you know, heading for destruction. It is like we mentioned this morning, it's so difficult, you know, to get a human form of life. It is actually so difficult. Then you take birth as a human being somewhere, you know, just let's say like Leipzig, you know, and it's so difficult to just be a human being, you know, what to speak of actually understanding the real purpose of life. I mean, it's so, you know, there's so many economic problems here now. You know, because they broke down the borders, now people having so many economic problems, so many anxieties. So there's so many impediments that Maya puts on our way to find Krishna, to come in touch with Krishna consciousness or get the mercy of Krishna consciousness. So no, it's very difficult. First of all, to get a human birth. Srila Prabhupada also mentioned that especially nowadays it's becoming more and more difficult to take a human birth, to actually take birth. You might even get a human body. You might even take, receive a human body in the womb of some mother. But there's no guarantee that you actually are born. It's like a big, a big gamble. You might even, come and somehow find your way into the womb of a mother. And if the mother doesn't like it, he doesn't want a child, she might also kill you. Just like yesterday, Dasavata was telling me that in DDR they had a very successful birth control program, wasn't it? And they were having so little children that the government became very preoccupied. So they started intruding, inspiring all the parents, and they started paying the parents when they had some child. I heard also in West Germany happened the same. There were even some nationalistic Germans. They were thinking the German race is becoming lost. Because there were more deaths than births in the German race. So they started paying. They gave special bonuses to families that had more children. Big amounts of money they gave to them. So it's very difficult to take birth nowadays. This is just in these countries, so-called advanced countries. In other countries which are not so much developed, they're also trying to do the same program. It's a little bit more difficult. A little more difficult to control. Let's say, for example, in India, they also make the same propaganda. So Kali Yuga is a very dangerous age, very dangerous place. And when you finally make it to a human body, you actually born, and you actually grow up, there's so many other difficulties. You grow up in a place that's completely demonic, behind some wall, behind some electric wires, and all kinds of nasty atheistic propaganda, So, and then, you grow up in that country, become all completely brainwashed, and materialistic, So then when finally they break down the wall, You are hung up with all your brainwashing from before, you know. You're all haunted by all these, you know, completely haunted by this communist propaganda. Then finally you see Hare Krishna, you know, on the shopping street in Leipzig, you know. And you're so completely hung up with your brainwashing, you know, of your communist, you know, Stasi, you know, education. Yeah. And everything that you can, everything you can do, you know, when you see the devotees, I said, say something nasty in German, you know. So it's very difficult to administrate them, you know, the medicine. And it is only due to the inconceivable mercy of the devotees here, like Dasavatarna's wife, you know, whoever he, you know, saved a few, you know, of these very unfortunate DDR inhabitants. It's actually a great mission. You know, it's a very great mission. And we need more. You know? We need more temples in these places. You know? We need more devotees, more bhaktas. But in order to accomplish this, we have to go on, we have to be strict, we have to be pure. I just realized today when we were chanting on the street, you know, I was thinking that there was absolutely no way to impress, you know? There's actually no way to impress these Germans, isn't it? There's no way to impress the Germans. You know, you can dance very nicely, you know. They don't care. No. You can sing like a Gandharva, you know. They don't care. You play Madanga like, you know, a real Bengali. No. They're not impressed, you know. You play the kartas, you know, so sweetly, you know. They're not impressed. There was absolutely no way to impress. No. There's actually no way to impress these Germans, isn't it? There's no way to impress the Germans. You know, you can dance very nicely, you know. They don't care. No. You can sing like a Gandharva, you know. They don't care. You play Madanga like, you know, a real Bengali. You know. They're not impressed, you know. You play the kartas, you know, so sweetly, you know. They're not impressed. You dress up very nicely, you know, everything iron first class. They're not impressed. You know. So that's what I was realizing today. You know. So I was thinking, you know, when we were chanting Hare Krishna, I was just meditating on this point that Srila Prabhupada said that purity is the force. So we should just purely chant the holy names, follow the instructions of our spiritual master very strictly, follow the principles, and just satisfy the spiritual master and satisfy Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said that is our, success. If we simply satisfy our spiritual master and satisfy Krishna, our mission is a success. What is the use of being applauded, you know, by thousands of Germans, you know, in Leipzig? No? What is the use of satisfying their whimses? How do you say?
Their whims.
Their whims. What is the use of their satisfying their whims? We should just try to sincerely satisfy Krishna. And then automatically, Krishna, being satisfied, he will send us, he will give us more and more facilities. He will send us devotees, he will give us Lakshmi, he will give us even a better temple than you have there in this, you know, in this weird building. No? And he will give you so many nice facilities. He will give you Gonitai, Gonitai, you dancing, And so many nice facilities. This all happens not by material expertise, but this comes, all this manifests when Krishna is actually satisfied and when the spiritual master is satisfied. So the whole world might be against us. The whole city of Leipzig might make a big manifestation against the temple, with megaphones and leaflets and everything, mobilizing the radio and the TV and everything, the government, the Stasi, But if we simply try to satisfy our spiritual master and Krishna, our mission is a complete success. So this was, I don't know, I thought this, I could share this realization with you. Chanting today, I was thinking, actually the only way to be successful is just trying to satisfy Krishna and the spiritual master. And then, when Krishna is satisfied, and when the spiritual master is satisfied, anything can happen. Anything can happen. Beyond all our expectations, Krishna can give us so many things. He can even change so many demons. He can change so many, how you say, from within the heart. He can change so many people and make them favorable. So that's why we should just keep, we should just try to maintain the purity and sincerely follow the directions of our spiritual master, of Guru, Gauranga, and Krishna. And then ultimately, our life will be a success. We will get our perfection. So this is... what I can say tonight. Is there anything else? Questions, commentaries. Maybe somebody had some realizations during our Harinam today. What was your realization when you went out today?
My realization today was that when you come, it was all nice and
boy. That's not a nice realization.
No. You come what? What right?
It's because I brought all these devotees it became nice.
Yeah.
Just like Vatsalya, Gouda, and all the rest of the group. Yeah, they were dancing very nicely today. No? I see another thing I realized. The inhabitants of Leipzig couldn't believe what they saw today. They couldn't believe it. That somebody would actually be so crazy. And dance and chant like we did today. And another thing I realized also when we were out, people were looking at us as if they had seen it for the first time. So I guess they need more dose, I say. More doses of that mercy. So they become more familiar with this transcendental chanting. Dancing. What was your realization today in Harinam? What did you think?
I was thinking that if you stop for a while of glorifying Krishna, the mind starts saying, what crazy is all this, but if you just try to glorify Krishna, it's so transcendental. Like if you start hearing the mind, then you are seeing all these people and looking at you, and the whole thing is so
strange. Yeah, actually, there's another thing also that is true that I was also thinking about, that as soon as you stop chanting, immediately become contaminated by the people.
Mm.
I mean, you immediately lose your faith, your conviction. Mm. You know? That's actually all they want. They just want to destroy your faith, I think.
Yeah.
And then another thing that I also, now I remember that I also was thinking about, was I was thinking of Srila Prabhupada. You know? How powerful Srila Prabhupada was. You know? When Srila Prabhupada came, we were just speaking about this the other day. You know, when Srila Prabhupada was somewhere, Srila Prabhupada was simply the center. And actually the Kamis lost their faith in what they were believing. You know? So sometimes when Prabhupada was somewhere, walking somewhere or sitting in the airport somewhere, you know, when people saw him, they became completely confused, I think. They lost, they didn't know how to behave anymore. No, they became like, sometimes you see that also when people see the devotees, or when they sit close to devotees, or that the association is too sudden for the karmis, especially people who are very contaminated, they become nervous, they transpire, because they lose all their conceptions, they lose all their, how you say, they have no more shelter, they know, they really become, and that's the influence, of the spiritual energy, especially when Srila Prabhupada was around. Prabhupada was so determined and so serious, it was so powerful that actually everyone else became confused, And Prabhupada started this whole thing, at least in the West, due to Prabhupada's strength. Actually, we are following. We're doing the same thing because we're getting the strength from it. The simple success, this conviction, this strength to go out, chant Hare Krishna boldly. Hare Krishna. So what? Hare Krishna, EK. Hare Krishna, naya und? So we should just, meditate on the spiritual master, especially on Srila Prabhupada's pastimes, when Srila Prabhupada came first. Actually, Srila Prabhupada did all this single-handedly. When Srila Prabhupada came, he was so determined, so much strength, inconceivable faith and determination, and following the instruction of the spiritual master, he went all the way alone, right into hell. Now he didn't care less. He came dressed in a dhoti, he came in white, pointed bathing shoes, plastic bathing shoes, dressed in a Swami hat, and a chada around his shoulders, sitting on the floor, sleeping on the floor. When Prabhupada came first, he was practically living out of it. He was practically living out of it. Of a, how you say this, baul, how you say in English?
Trunk.
Of a trunk. He had a trunk. And he used it as a desk. And he kept all his stuff in the trunk also. What an amazing person Srila Prabhupada was. No, he came with nothing. He had nothing practically. No friends. He had just faith in Krishna and faith in the instruction of the spiritual master. So we should meditate on this, on these activities, on these qualities of Srila Prabhupada. And in this way we get automatically strength to continue, even though there might be millions of Leipziger trying to influence us, try to make us lose our faith. But armed with this strength given by Srila Prabhupada and by the previous acharyas, we just continue to fight. And Srila Prabhupada was so determined. He mentioned that if I just make one person a pure devotee, my mission is already is a full success. Just one person. And how many persons became saved by Srila Prabhupada? By his determination. Just by seeing him, just by hearing him, just by hearing about him, not even meeting him personally, and just by reading his books. How many people have become influenced? Even after Srila Prabhupada left, how many people are still becoming influenced by Srila Prabhupada? Such a powerful personality. So Prabhupada taught us this, to go out and chant Hare Krishna. He taught us to go out and distribute books. And he taught us not to care less. Not to care less of what the karmics think. Because the Prabhupada gives the example that he said that the material society, the material world, is like an asylum for crazy people. So, just like the doctor, in the asylum, he might want to give some medicine to somebody, and the person might insult him, he might spit at him, and he might also even, beat him, punch him. But the doctor knows, this poor guy is crazy. He's confused, he's sick. He's sick, krank. He's sick. I have to give him the medicine anyway. So what other realizations are there?
I got a nice realization about how merciful Prabhupada was to give us this book distribution, because actually we were there before and we got a nice book distribution that actually I wasn't so quick, but I meet nice people and I give nice few books. He gives so many Sali all the time, and I distribute a lot of pieces of prasad, and even more than in Karinam, I think. And yeah, because the mother here, she cook, and when we give a book, we give also prasad.
Very nice.
And then, actually, I was feeling that was much more powerful book distribution than chanting. The people was more appreciated, and we connect much more people. And actually, sometimes in some places, book distribution is even more than Harinam, Sangeetan. Even more powerful in that way than in the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time,
yeah,
we realize that it's the same.
Yeah. It's a good trick. First class. Okay. So let's stop here then. Is there any questions? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.